interrupt people.
Oh,
hey, who's doing the intro?
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Lisa?
Yeah, I can feel it.
Now, too excited. Gosh, I'm the one who's supposed to be tired here. What the heck's going on?
I had a lot of talk spunk saved up, man. That was releasing some of it. I haven't really been on the show in a week because you guys did Fiend Fest Somalia at Pork Fest and did the show every night from there. And I was on a few minutes each night, but it's so weird. There's a technical issue because, and I'm fine with it, but it's like I can't really talk remotely when you guys are there because you're broadcasting it through to a room full of people through speakers. So my delay, you know, when you add up like Fiend Phone, Satellite, Comrex, the delay in the room and then getting back to me and back to GCN, there's like literally 3 seconds between when I say something and when I hear it back. And both of them, what they call print to tape, there's no tape anymore, but like, you know, end up on the recording. And it sounds bad. A 3 second delay where the delay is as loud as what you're saying sounds like an error. Whereas, you know, sometimes if a Fiend host has like a little leakage in their headphones and you get like, you know, a quarter second really quiet delay, it sounds kind of trippy and psychedelic. But so I couldn't really talk much on the show, so I'm all backed up.
Well, by all means, Michael, let it go.
Are you really 82 feet above sea level?
That's what they tell me.
Nice. I'm a mile. And
yeah.
How about you, Lisa? You're at sea level, aren't you?
I'm at sea level, I think.
Your house,
yeah.
You're on the second floor, so you're 82 feet above sea level or something?
No, I'm on the ground level, so.
So you're 8 feet above sea level.
I'm looking right at the waves right now, yeah.
Nice,
82
nice.
Feet from.
And the silverfish. We're going to talk about silverfish later in the show.
Oh, yeah. They're
I have experiences.
Bane of my existence.
Jeremy just got back from Pork Fest, Fiend Fest Somalia at Pork Fest. How was it? It was your first one, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I was telling you guys before the show, I mean, for me, it was great. I know a lot of the other Fiends and a lot of my other friends that I ran into up there were all kind of disappointed.
Or jaded.
Well, there was, according to, you know, the numbers, there was a lot less people. There was a lot of empty spots. Even in Agora Valley the entire week, there was empty spots, which is supposedly,
really?
You know, not normal. Yeah. And everybody I talked to, whether it was when Nick and I went to go try to hand out the BIPCOT licenses originally, or just, you know,
thank
purchasing
you.
Things and talking to the different vendors and stuff, every single person I talked to who had been there the previous years said their numbers were way down this year. You know, I was,
yeah, let's address that and get that out of the way really quickly. Like, you know, some
sure.
people boycotted,
yep.
Pork Fest this year because, a couple reasons. One is like, you know, it's kind of jumped the shark of like, it's kind of like what Burning Man did. Like Burning Man started with 10 people on the beach in San Francisco, and it's become this like worldwide corporate event with like cops, you know, and like rules and too many people to really for the people that went to the earlier ones to really enjoy it. And Pork Fest was kind of like that. And I think 2 years ago, I think it had its most number of people when I was there. It was like over 1,000 people paid, and that means more than 1,000 went in and out. Some people
sure.
sneak in and out. Some people buy a day pass. Some people, you know, go in the trunk, whatever. So there were more than 1,000 people there, and it got a lot of national news. But I don't really know about last year. I wasn't there. Were you there, Lisa?
No, I've never been before.
Okay. But, you know, some people said, like, I remember Davi 2 years ago. He'd been a bunch of years before that. That was my first year 2 years ago. And I remember him saying that he thought it was going to be the last Pork Fest where you could, like, leave money out and not worry about it. But I think it went the other way. I think it didn't get so big that it got, like, criminal. I think it got smaller because people got disgusted with certain aspects of the organization of it. Hmm. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah, I highly agree, because I mean, because we were still able to leave stuff out. All, you know, my phone sat out on a picnic bench table, yeah, charging, you know, in the middle of our campsite, not really covered, you know. We, yeah, left stuff out. So it was that part of the atmosphere was still there. But like I said, the numbers were definitely way down.
But you and Nick had a blast, because you hadn't been there before. You weren't comparing it to anything, right?
Yeah, I had, exactly. I had nothing really to compare to from my own personal experiences. Plus, the smaller... The amount of people is actually better for me. I don't really like the big crowds. I prefer to have
the only advantage of the big crowd, I think, was like proof of concept of wow. You know, like Nick had never met another anarcho-capitalist, had he? Like, in person? I don't think he had.
Well, he does work with the Libertarian Party of Oregon, and I know there's a couple of anarchists that are actually there, but, so he but may have, so, I'm not positive.
But even it was so, definitely... like, seeing that many, like, had an effect on him and on you, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been to smaller festivals before, but just being around everybody and, I mean, of course, getting to actually meet, you know, half the people I talk to on a regular basis on this show face-to-face and hang out with them was really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it was definitely an experience, and... Plus, I got this, you know, I have friends all over the country that I've made over the years that I speak to, not just through social media, but through different, you know, chat programs that I speak to almost daily that I've never gotten a chance to meet. And at least three or four of them made their way there. So that was really cool, too.
Nice. You know.
Yeah. So the reason there weren't as many people there this year, other than maybe it's kind of jumped the shark and, you know, maybe people who've been there have been there, is like some things changed about it. One is there's always been a theory that the Koch brothers were funding Porkfest, but this year they were out about it. Like, if you go to the Porkfest site and look up the donors, like the gold donors and the silver donors, like, you know, the top silver donor is, or one of the silver donors is the Koch Family Foundation. And the top gold donor and then a couple of the silver donors are like foundations that a simple Google search shows are run by and fund or partially funded by the Koch brothers. So,
yeah, subsidiaries, you know, and stuff.
And I don't necessarily have anything as negative to say about the Koch brothers as like the average liberal would, and I'm not a liberal, but it's like, you know, my problem with them isn't, oh, they're corporate right winger. You know, my problem with them is like, they kind of like, I think, applied pressure maybe, or for it coincides with them funding it heavily that, you know, they've kind of like quote unquote cleaned up their act and gotten rid of some of the like quote unquote undesirable elements. And some of the undesirable elements are friends of ours, you know, and they basically banned Ian Freeman. And I didn't want to talk about this till after you guys were back from it. And I'm going to go whole hog on this now because I've been holding it in. So basically, like, the Fiends have been allowed to get free tickets and set up there in the media room and broadcast from there as like a scheduled event for the past 3 years. This year, like, we were promised that, and I was the liaison for it. And then, like, all of a sudden, they banned Ian, and I was going through Ian for it. And the reason they banned Ian, okay, so people don't know, Ian Freeman, the host of Free Talk Live, has like unconventional, let's say, beliefs about sexual age of consent. You know, he's not in favor of kitty raping, but, you know, he doesn't think that, you know, necessarily a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old need, you know, government, or even an 18-year-old. Anyway, like, neither here nor there, none of my business, let's put it that way. But it's like, he's been open about that belief for like 10 years, and he's been promoting Free State Project and people moving to New Hampshire and Porkfest like every single day, every single call on his radio show. Like, he built that more than any single person. I think it's Ian's fault. It's Ian made it happen. He built it that there are 20,000 pledged to the Free State Project. As soon as they hit that goal, like a week later, they banned him. You know, like, thanks, buddy. We're throwing you under the bus now. That's how it looked to me. And that's how it looked to a lot of people. And a lot of people that were going to go to Porkfest canceled, like, didn't go this year. That's probably why there weren't as many, you know, there were empty stalls there and empty tent spaces. Right. The Fiends had a group discussion about it and quickly decided to, like, go anyway, because, like, you know, like you all had people booked airline tickets. They'd taken off work. They, you know, this is your only summer vacation. And there were actually people mad at us for you guys going there, and even mad at me. And I didn't even go. I was too sick. Mad for you guys not taking a hard line and boycotting. But it's like, here's how I look at it. Like, you guys kept your side of the street clean. You honored your agreement just because the opposing party, you know, became the opposing party. The Pork Fest board banned Ian. Just because they, like, didn't honor their agreement is no reason for you guys not to keep your side of the street clean. That's how I look at agreements like that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I just went because it was a free ticket. If they're gonna pay my way to go there, and then I can just make fun of them while I'm there. Okay.
I'll say right now. Okay, this episode's called "The Future of Freedom Fiends," and I'm gonna air a lot of grievances in the next few segments. But I'll say right now, I am not gonna jump through. You, if you guys want to go next time, you got to hook it up, because I bled through the eyes to get those free tickets, and what?
No, I know it was a hassle. I don't remember what you went
through. Out of 10 people that I got free tickets for, like, 3 of them thanked me, and like 5 of them complained to me about it. You know, it was like, it was not only a thankless job, it was like a getting kicked in the teeth job. It was really crappy. I even lost a friend over it. Like, James Babb is no longer on this show because of, like, his interactions with me about that. You know, and that's me. This is the first time I'm coming out and saying that. Like, if you're wondering where Babb is, you know, I'm not going to badmouth him. I'm not going to, like, go into detail about how I feel. Well, I'm kind of hinting at it. Like, I feel about some of the interactions he and I had off board. But, you know, a lot of emotions came out from a lot of people about this Pork Fest thing and Ian and LRN being banned from putting up flyers and things and banners.
Well, that was done anyway, so.
Put it this way. I don't think the government's behind it, but if they wanted to create dissent in the Liberty Movement, they couldn't have done better than banning Ian from Porkfest.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, this is going to be one of those things that, whether it was designed or not, it'll most likely be used to their advantage anyway.
With friends like the Porkfest board, who needs the government?
Seriously.
Right?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Porkfest. I'll say it. I'll come out and say it.
All right.
And this isn't me, like, you know, oh, they did good for me, now it's done, I can kick them in the teeth. No, it was like, they were doing stuff for you guys, so I didn't want to complain, but I wanted to complain the whole time. But now that you guys can't get banned for it, I'll say what I was thinking the whole time. F Porkfest.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by BIPCOT. Thank you for being a fiend.
Two cats. I love my cats.
I'm jealous.
It's good to have cats, man. I didn't have cats for a year, so I was too sick. I was allergic. According to my doctor, that's what was part of it, but I think she was wrong. But we got new cats, and black cats matter. I'm just gonna say it. So, so other than eating magic mushrooms, Jeremy, and going on a vision quest where you saw Satan and he had my face.
This is so not true. Not true.
No, it is true. I saw you. I was looking at you when you were staring at that campfire for 4 hours. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is true.
That, That was me. I was in that fire. I was the devil looking at you.
I don't recall seeing the devil. It was a lucid experience. I was having conversations with the people around me. I was mad at you.
I was mad at you. My spy said you were mad at me. But well, they also said,
first of all, the only people that could have been spies in that situation are the ones who were talking to me, and they're the ones who started the conversation. So if anything, that would be entrapment, and I therefore
libertarian entrapment. That's gonna be the name of this episode. I was going to call it the future of the Freedom Fiends, but I was just
answering their questions. So bad.
I had spies all over. They also told me that, like, you were really mad about my comments about the bad audio that you sent me.
I was very mad.
Yeah. They said, but they couldn't really tell how mad you were because you have a Long Island accent. So you sound mad and you're really not.
No.
You sound like you're going to beat him up.
See, that's funny. I usually get told that that people think I'm mad just because of the way I look. Apparently, I have that the BITCH face. I have one of those. Apparently, I don't know. I can't control it, so people think I'm angry all the time. Even when I'm
what
not.
Face?
I
was what a kind little, of face?
The angry word that the rhymes resting, with witch face. Resting
witch face. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Now the picture we're using tonight is of you passed out. It's an awesome picture of you.
Nicole, the photographer, is
Bipcotting you. She's holding up a Bipcot license.
Oh, that's the
license.
Other one.
So did you give out all of the Bipcot licenses, or were there not enough people for them?
I gave out as many as I could. The people that didn't have them didn't want to take them for whatever reason.
Thank you for your service. Speaking of service, to the Dark Lord, me, and to Gigi Allen, the other Dark Lord. So you went to on a field trip at my suggestion with some other people to Gigi Allen's grave. Is that true?
Yes. Derek J., Nick, Diana, Nicole and her boyfriend Joe all took a trip out to Gigi Allen's grave. We followed the instructions on the website because that's the only way you can actually find the
complicated instructions.
Yeah, you actually have to look at the pictures of people who have been there in the past and took pictures when it was there and line it up based on where you are now.
Because his gravestone's gone. So for people who don't know, Gigi Allen. Okay, go ahead. We're bearing the lead. When people on radio don't know what a Gigi Allen is, guy who is a rock musician, and I'm still trying to hammer into, you know, this is radio school. I'm still teaching you guys. We get excited. We forget. It's really simple. There's very few rules of radio, of good radio. One of them is don't bury the lead. And I tend to bury the lead when I get too excited too, because I assume that people know what I'm talking about. And I, you know, basically you got to picture like a tree of like information from like biggest to smallest. You know, you have to start with defining your terms.
I was just gonna say that.
You know, kingdom, phylum, order, genus, species, like that. So Gigi Allen was this guy who's dead. He died in 93 of a heroin overdose. He was a musician. He was really into, I said, bringing the danger back to rock and roll. Davy Barker said Gigi Allen brought the sepsis back to rock and roll. Because I said that he liked to cut himself and poo on the stage and jump in the poo with his cuts. Literally. So, whoa. I mean, this guy was, there was nothing pretty, there was nothing commercial about him. The way I remember him is the images of him wearing cowboy boots, no pants, cheerleader's short skirt, and a Nazi helmet, and a cutoff denim jacket. That's Gigi Allen in a nutshell. So he died, and he was buried in a Catholic cemetery in Littleton, New Hampshire, and his mother had him buried there, paid for the grave. They had a funeral. And it kind of became like Jim Morrison's grave. Like, people made pilgrimages to it, but like Jim Morrison, but with more poop and pee-pee. So if you search Gigi Allen's grave on Google Images, you're going to get a bunch of pictures of people poo-pooing and pee-peeing on this grave. Now, we don't recommend that, and you guys didn't do that, but the Catholic cemetery has removed the gravestone to make it harder for people to find it. But you guys logged the GPS coordinates for me by sending a cell 411 to me that said that Derek J was being bullied at Gigi Allen's grave. So yeah. I made an app. So there's an app called Find Gigi Allen's Grave. Even if you're not going to go there, you should download it and review it. It's funny. And it does take you door to grave directions. on your Android phone.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
My clock's off again. I got the sass.
Oh. I thought you meant Fiend Fest Smog is over, so you're sad.
That too, I'm sad.
That too.
Yeah.
It was a great 8 days.
Yeah.
It was. Part of which we were talking about before we went to the break. The trip to Gigi Allen's grave.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I was saying before, we followed the directions and we managed to get there. And we found, once we got there, I think it was actually Diana that actually spotted it first. It became a game. It was like we all spread out across the cemetery. Okay, we have the picture. Now find which gravestone matches up next to the one next to it. But not only did they remove the headstone, but they removed the pedestal that the headstone base was on. Yeah, so there's nothing there now.
Because first they removed, a couple years ago, they removed the headstone, but the base was still there. So it was easy to find. And now it's like, it's just grass. It looks like they've salted the earth so nothing can ever grow there. Like the grass is being grown there.
Yeah, there's an oval patch of dirt. There actually is some grass growing up in the middle of it now.
Gigi's poison. That's why there's mostly dirt there.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it was pretty much
all the drugs he did are killing anything that would grow there. He salted the earth.
It's almost impossible to see. Like, I just barely caught it with my eye, and I said, because everybody was like, where is it? And I looked down and saw the circle, the little oval, and so we found it, and we took our pictures. We have a bunch of them. I think Nicole has even more that'll come out once she gets home and gets a chance to work with her computer and stuff.
Nice.
Because she took some with her phone just so we could send them out right away to you. But there's ones. I think there's definitely one with me taking a nap on his grave with my Bipcot flag as a blanket. And there's a couple. You know, I think everybody else took a couple of them. And then of course there's the picture with Derek J, Diana, and I holding up two Bipcot flags over the grave.
That's great.
And we did. I mean, we didn't go back, obviously. So I don't know how long it actually lasted. But we did leave my small Bipcot flag behind. We dug a hole and planted it in just where hopefully it's still there.
It looks respectable. Like anybody walking by there isn't going to go, oh, and remove it. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, no.
Smeared your name in feces on his grave or something.
Yeah, a simple flag on a stick. That's all it was. So hopefully nobody will disturb it for a while. But at the very least,
a name in feces is a joke from the show Silicon Valley. Have you guys seen this?
No.
Quick aside. You haven't seen it? Silicon Valley is a show on HBO that's created by Mike Judge, who created Office Space, Beavis and Butthead. What else did he do?
King of the Hill, I think.
Cool. King of the Hill.
Yeah. And it's kind of like Office Space is one of my favorite movies. Have you guys seen it?
I love that movie.
Did you ever work in an office?
Oh, yes.
You have to work in an office to appreciate that movie, but it helps. I had shortly before it came out. So Silicon Valley is kind of the quality of writing and filmmaking of Office Space, but it's a show. There's like three seasons of it. I binge watched all three seasons in 2 days this weekend. It's amazing. Wow. Just check it out. It's if you're looking for something to watch, you know, it's probably on the torrents, but it's definitely on like HBO on demand if you have that. It's amazing. It's about a Silicon Valley startup. It takes place in, you know, in the here and now, and You know, it's got real characters and real people and no magic, and it doesn't take place in, you know, on the moon. You know, it's got all the things that I like in a show, but it's also really well done. So check it out. So is Gigi haunting your graves now, Gigi Allen? Jeremy?
He might be, or something else. There was definitely something haunting us up there. We're not really sure. Either Gigi Allen or the puke wedgie.
It was me. I was mad about the bad audio, even before it happened.
Uh-oh.
Well, that, you know what? That's just setting us up for failure right there. See, then we can blame
it's
it all on you
again.
Just setting
up for the next segment, man. Lisa, do you want to read this thing I wrote, this blog post? So Jeremy sent me some audio.
Sure.
They recorded a show after the live show on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, like they did a couple years ago. And Jeremy had to, like, go to a library to send me the audio because there's not very good internets out in the woods there at Porkfest. So he sent me this audio, and I downloaded it, and it was horrible. It was unlistenable. I mean, and I posted it as a bad example, like, of what not to do. You know, and Lou got really mad at me. A couple people got mad at me. A couple people got apologetic at me. Jeremy's gonna justify it, he says. No, what did you say? You're gonna defend your tribe? What was it?
Well,
Jeremy?
Yeah, it's gonna defend the family. Yeah.
See,
yep.
You should be in my family, Jeremy.
I am, not in Michael. We all are in a family, but in this instance,
this is schism.
You try to take everybody to task, and whether you definitely, I don't know. I think you jumped the gun on this one because you put out an unedited product. You knew it was unedited. If you failed to read that in the email I sent you, that's on you, not the rest of us.
Editing is going to save this. There's nothing.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
Oh, really?
Because when I clean that up and put it out as a Seeds of Liberty episode, what are you
going to
say?
Are you going to? I'm going to say, I think you need to now. If you're using, unless you have different source recording than what you sent me, do you?
No.
Okay. There's no way. I mean, editing to me means like removing hems and haws and, you know, spaces and stuff. Like what are you gonna do? So you're gonna do some EQ on this? You're gonna do what? Are you gonna do on it?
That could be tweaked, and like I said, I would like it. Yes, it can, because I've done it before. I do it for my show all the time when people call in and don't have a microphone, because what happened is, unfortunately, the thing was set to record somehow, the proverbial switch got flipped, that it was recording on the onboard microphone of my laptop. And
yeah,
instead of everybody else's mic,
I could tell that from listening to it.
Yeah,
it like,
and that's all that. But
you're using a mixer. You're all speaking into mics, all properly balanced in your headphones. You sounded great, and you put it into a computer and didn't check, didn't do a sound check, didn't play it back.
There we go. We did. Hugo and Lou did a sound check, and they kept trying to get everybody in the room to be quiet, because unfortunately that was the biggest night we had as far as a live audience. It was we had like 20 plus 25 people at one point in that room. It was really hard to hear, and they did the best they could to get it down, and both of them looked at each other and said, it sounds right. So they went.
Well, Lou doesn't know anything about audio. Hugo knows a lot. Hugo knows what he's doing. Lou doesn't. Lou can get mad at me about this, but there's nothing to get mad about. Like, Lou probably admits, Lou's never produced a whole episode of anything by himself. It's not what he does.
That's fine.
Hugo does it every week. Hugo's really good at it. But
there you go.
You said you're taking responsibility.
I'll take whatever responsibility. No, because it was my laptop.
Oh, so
that
it's murder
it.
On the Oriental Express. Everyone's fault.
No, it's not everyone's fault.
Chandler already took full responsibility.
Yeah, because Lou didn't want to do it. Chandler and I pushed him into doing it because we wanted to try to do it before Diana left, and before we had to rush to get it done before Chandler left the next day. So that's why we were trying to get it done while we still had everybody together. And Chandler and I talked. Lou said no at first. Lou wanted to wait till the next day to do it.
See, the thing was, you wouldn't have needed. I wouldn't have needed to even listen to it to have solved the problem, because the problem was that the mic wasn't selected. The input, the USB input of the mixer wasn't wasn't picked. It was reverting Correct. To the onboard mic. I could tell that as soon as I heard it. Also, though, there was something really wonky about the MP3 encoding. I don't know what it was, but it sounded like, I mean, it was like 128K encoding, which is really good. It's what the Fiends use, but it sounded like 16K or worse. It sounded like that kind of like whispering robots undercurrent that you get from bad MP3 encoding. How'd you encode it?
I didn't do that. I think Chandler ran the Audacity program before I did it.
Yeah. I've spent more time trying to help Chandler get good audio with disappointment than anybody.
Well, no, he didn't do anything, though. He didn't get a chance. He was supposed to, see, again, this is where you're like picking on people. He was supposed to edit it. He didn't get a chance to, because before he and his laptop ended up getting buried in his car before he had a chance to take the file from me so he could bring it home and fix it and then give it to you, which is why in the email that I sent you, I specifically said, we didn't get a chance to edit it. This is raw.
This just all sounds like excuses to me. It's not. So would you please read what I wrote to them when I posted this?
Oh, my God. You are so ridiculous. And you wonder why people are pissed at you.
Oh.
No, I don't. People are pissed at me because people are wrong and lazy and incompetent.
We're not wrong and lazy.
And I hold people to a high standard.
You didn't have to put it out.
And that pisses them off.
You didn't have to put it out.
Oh, I had to put it out. Go ahead and read it, Lisa, what I put it out with.
Okay, bad audio podcast from some people who used to be in the Freedom Fiends is the title. Oh, here we go. There's a bunch of memes. Okay, I'm not actually firing anyone over this, but I'm seriously embarrassed for y'all. The audio on this after show is so horrible that you should all be physically removed, so to speak. Have I taught you nothing? And I actually did some audio fluffing and folding. This sounds better than what you sent me. I did what I could, but you know, garbage in, garbage out. I don't want to hear excuses. Uh-huh. There are none. I don't care that you're in the woods without your gear. You do have gear. You did 4 shows that sounded good with my and Derek's help. Plus, people brought mixers, mics, and computers. But this recording is sad. I could do better sound than this on a Feinsteining phone. Seriously, I have. I can't believe you used the name Freedom Fiends in this. I'm not even going to name you all by name, so you can thank me for that. But there's no way I'm putting this on the Fiends site proper. So I'm putting it on the Fiends blog. Hell, that's me doing you a favor. I could even put this on the Creamy Radio Audio site and give it a long example of what not to do. You all owe the world amends for thinking this is good. It's not going in the Fiends streaming. It's not going in the Fiends archive, torrent, or anything. And I even uploaded it twice because the first time it had the words Freedom Fiends and my name in the audio MP3 tagging I did after I helped the audio. Then I remembered that and I stripped that out and I re-uploaded it without any mention of me or our brand I've worked so hard to make. Man, the audio on this sounds like the way a stage looks and smells after Gigi Allen plays. Y'all need to hang your heads and go watch my guide on getting good audio. If you've watched it, watch it again, but wait until you're sober. This is why I don't have much hope for Liberty in my lifetime. This audio sets Liberty back at least 2,500 hours. I still love each and every one of you, but if I die and you put out anything like this under the name
Clean
Freedom
this
Fiends,
up for radio.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. This part coming up. Go ahead.
Oh, I will haunt and hunt all of you with a voodoo vengeance that will make you wish you'd learned something about me. Wait, what do you... Oh, okay. No. What?
Make you wish you'd learned something about from me.
Oh, okay. From me about good audio. And if there's no afterlife, I hope your listeners tinkle on your homes. That is all said with a smile, but worms. MWD.
Mother fluffing worms. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was afraid to say that.
That's what I was going to clean up on later.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we going to...
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada.
due to popular demand. Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Jeremy's sighing.
Yes, I am.
I heard that. So when we went to the break, Jeremy was cut off by the break when he was in the middle of defending his bad life choices. So continue.
Defending my bad... Well, no, because the fact that I got to say what I wanted to say before Lisa read that, I think makes it sound even sillier now what you wrote, because you made it out to be like we went out of our way to make this horrible audio and send it to you, when all it was one simple flip of a switch that got missed. And yes, was that the screw up? Yes. But we sent you something that was unedited. You made it seem like we sent you this thing that we expected to go out on the air right away.
We expected to go out on the air. Well,
no, we didn't.
I mean, I did the same editing that I do for every Fiends episode.
Yes, because you don't have to, because we're on Fiend Phone where we don't have these issues.
Well,
we're not jerry-rigging three systems.
Here's why you're a poor workman blaming his tools.
I'm not blaming my tools. I blame this. I explained the situation. When did I blame the tools? I said a switch got forgot to get flipped. I don't think that's blaming the tools. Do you think that's blaming the tools, Lisa?
I'm going to drag Lisa in. Don't drag me.
Let's bring me into it.
If yeah. I said the switch broke, blaming the tool. Saying it didn't get flipped is blaming it.
I'm saying you're bad. I'm saying it's human error, and I thought you were blaming your tools. If you're willing to say you did a horrible thing, and
I did not do. I didn't do a horrible thing. I don't think anybody did a horrible thing. I think somebody missed the switch.
So the collective.
I don't know who missed the switch. I was not doing that. But I'm taking responsibility for what I did.
Democracy got together and voted to suck. So
nobody listened to it before we sent it out.
What?
Because Chandler did not get it.
Did you listen to it? I didn't hear you.
No.
Yes or no?
No, I didn't. No? I told you that.
Okay. Here's what I would have done differently.
Listen to it?
I have never, ever, ever sent anyone audio that I didn't at least do a needle drop, which was what I call, you know, it's based on turntables. Like, if I send a file to somebody, I do 5 or 6 needle drops in a 1-hour file. Like, I put the cursor, I play 10 seconds here, I go ahead 10 minutes, you know, I do some needle drops throughout it and listen to it. I would never, ever, ever send anyone audio and say, put this out publicly without doing
again,
drops.
Again, that's not what was said. That's why I think what you said is wrong, because that was not what was said. You can get my email and read it. It specifically said, we did not get a chance to edit this because Chandler couldn't get it from me before he had to leave. This is the unedited copy. Do with it with what you wish. We didn't say we wanted it put out on the air as is. Absolutely not. So,
you didn't say you didn't listen to it either, though.
I'm not denying that, and that is where I take responsibility, because it was in my hands last, and I'm the one that sent it to you. But because
somebody told me the night before, I don't know who it was, but one of you guys said we're recording Lou said to me, we're recording an episode for you to put up on the Fiends.
That was the plan, and like I said, that night Lou didn't want to do it. Chandler and I, who may or may not have been a little drunk, really pushed for it because we wanted to do it before Diana left, and Chandler didn't want to have to rush to do it before he left the next day.
The excuses I'm hearing are, I was drunk, someone else did it,
I didn't listen to it,
you didn't read my directions, you didn't decipher read my mind, and it was a switch that was flipped.
No, it was a switch that wasn't flipped. And I took responsibility for the one having it in my hands last before I sent it out to you.
And the other thing I heard was you claim you can edit this and make it sound good.
I said I can make it sound better. And it'll be listenable. I've had to fix it before when I do it for other shows.
All right, here's the challenge.
People use onboard mics.
Here's the challenge. Stop making excuses. Seriously, man, you're just making excuses.
I'm not making excuses.
Here's the challenge. Okay.
What excuse have I made?
And make this like 8 of them, 6 of them. You make this as good as, first of all, edit out at the beginning where you say it's the Freedom Fiends. This is never going to be something I want called the Freedom Fiends. Secondly, edit it as best you can, upload it, and let's agree now on a judge for this contest. I think Jim Jesus, because he's impartial and he can tell good audio from bad, and he may have something to do with the MWD bad audio removal webpage. So he's a fan of good audio. And like I taught, he had horrible audio, and he was the easiest person ever for me to teach to do good audio.
Okay.
And he does good audio now. So will you take the fiends at word out of the beginning, fluff and fold this to the best of your ability, and upload it somewhere, and then we'll have Jim Jesus be the judge.
Judge of what, though? Like, it's not going to be fiend quality, but it'll be listenable, and it'll be, you know, people will be able to enjoy it.
Okay, that's the thing. Will it be listenable?
Okay, that's fine.
All right, that's your challenge.
Okay.
There's no prize, but except just your honor.
That's good enough for me.
All right, cool. We'll be back with hour two of more infighting on the Freedom Fiends. Conflict is the essence.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
It's the sound of a silverfish being eaten by a cat.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region with the house centipedes and silverfish. Ew. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I'm freaking out right now.
you got a bug. Huh?
I do. It's
two
yeah,
of
it's
them
like,
apparently.
Well, I'm hoping it's the same one. There's not more than
silverfish.
One. Well, they're house centipedes, so they eat silverfish. These things are bigger than silverfish. That's
they look
like
silverfish, though. They're creepy.
Oh, man.
The first time I saw a silverfish, I was in Maryland, where you are. I was like 15, and I was tripping in my friend in his dad's mansion when his dad was out of town. And that was an interesting time because my friend's dad was a sculptor, and a really good one. And he had done a bust of my friend, teenage friend. He was 16, I was 15. And so, like, my friend was tripping and standing in this room full of antiques and, you know, Bossendorf pianos and Oriental rugs and looking at this bust of himself, like, tripping, like, looking at it really close, like, scrutinizing it.
Whoa.
Like, I think it winked at me. It's made of bronze, you know? Like, but we saw a silverfish, and I was like, man, it was in an unused fireplace, like one that had, you know, had no wood or stuff in it. It hadn't been used in years. And I was like, man, that thing crawled up out of hell.
These things have like 30 legs.
Yeah.
30 legs. Yeah. And oh God, I read that the females can produce, they can have up to 150 babies.
Ew.
Oh, I'm not happy. Yeah.
So, Jeremy, I crawled up from hell when you were having your guided mushroom vision quest, and I was the devil. I was
really
your silverfish in your brain.
I really don't recall seeing you, Michael.
That's because
I recall talking about you. I do recall talking about you, but like I said, there was questions were asked. I just answered because I was in one of those states.
Yeah, everyone was going like, "Man, that Michael Dean. How are we going to like throw him out of the Freedom Fiends that he started?"
Absolutely, yeah. That was the plan.
I know it's the plan. That's what we're going to talk about next.
The whole thing.
And, yeah.
Cat's out of the
bag.
We're
talking about what I will destroy this show brick by brick before I'll let that happen.
I think that was quite noticeable by your, you know, your repeated use of a certain word last week when you were there.
What word?
Yeah.
What word? I don't know what you. I have no idea what you're talking about, and the audience has even less. What are you talking about?
You don't recall saying the word penis over and over and over
penis?
And over.
Penis is radio friendly.
I know, but just say it over and over and over and over again.
Penis.
It's just the way to be.
It's totally fine.
Antagonistic.
It's fine. No, it's fine. I just thought you all were tripping on a vision quest, and I thought you needed to visionize penises more. No. So
why would you want me to? Why would that help me on a vision quest, Michael?
Okay, so
I have one of my own. I'm quite satisfied with it. Why do I need to think about other ones?
One of my many spies at Porkfest.
Many spies.
They're everywhere. We're everywhere. So yeah, one of the things I heard was that you're. So you guys did the Dawn of Freedom after the last show. There, you did. This has been a tradition. Is Brett Vinat comes in and does records you guys doing a Freedom Fiends episode off the air. That lasts until the sun comes up, like 5 hours long. And then he puts it out a few weeks later as three episodes. And, you know, I trust him. He does good audio. So no matter.
Brett is amazing with the. He puts a lot of work in.
You guys are going to be talking crap about me, but it'll sound great, so I won't care. You can hate me.
I don't think we talk crap. I don't really think we talk crap about you.
Yeah, but you know what? I was there being the silverfish in your head. And, I heard from one of my spies that show was not nearly as good and magical as previous years. That's because you guys
there was
had
only
the guilt.
One way previous years. It only happened once before.
Guilt. You guys had the residual guilt of knowing you'd done bad.
Oh my
audio.
Goodness. Okay. First of all, this was only the second
bad trip after the trip's over, man.
First of all, this was only the second Dawn of Freedom. This was the second Dawn of Freedom.
Okay, but the last one was magical. It was like the best Fiends
because the
ever.
Last
I
one
wasn't
was
there.
Because
and that's
the
fun.
Last yes, because last year's was completely impromptu. They had just finished doing. They had finished doing a Freedom Fiends episode, and all of them were in the middle of talking about a conversation about superpowers and which each of them would really like superpower they'd like to have. And they just decided to keep going, and then they kept going, and they got delirious towards the end. So yeah, of course, yeah. That one is spontaneity is it almost always wins. This one was planned out a little bit more, but you know
me.
What?
I killed it remotely with remote vision.
Well, I think Brett will still do a good job. There was a lot of conversation.
No, the audio's
going to
be great.
Well,
you can't.
I didn't mean about the audio. I meant about the content.
You can't add content in the editing. You can't make.
I didn't say you were going to add. The content was fine. It may not be magical enough for you, but you know what? Lou was on there
okay,
for
so
a while.
One of my
I
notes,
was on there for
one
a while.
Of my notes for this show was The Fiends Dies With Me, and you have comments about that. What are they?
Yes. Well, like I said that in the break, that contradicts things you've said before. When you try to tear most of, you know, some or all of us down, then you like to remind us that, oh, it's not just about me. It's about all you guys and the fiends. You want it to live on, and you just want, you know, now.
Wait, after I tear all of you down?
I said some or all of us.
Wait, some?
Like in this instance, like, you're trying to take down all of us for this screw up.
But before today, are you making it sound like I do this every week?
Not every week.
You make it sound like I do it every month, man. What are you saying?
I'm just saying when you're upset and you get mad at people, it's not all of us. It's happened individually to a lot of us, I should say.
Well, you know, I really think that to have liberty spread like it needs to. I think we need to be better than them. That's my whole theory with this. I think our quality has to be as good as CNN and NPR. Our audio and video quality. I think that our arguments have to be as good or better than the crap in the mainstream. Put it this way: like, I also think that everything should be done as if you're like. Livelihood depends on it, even when you're doing it for free. Like, if you guys did audio like you did that other night, that one that I don't like, everyone would have gotten fired, or someone would have gotten fired, you know, if you did that at a major media outlet. No amount of excuses. Like,
again,
you just would have gotten fired.
The excuses. You had the option not to put it out. It was given to you unedited. We didn't try to fix it.
You shouldn't have even sent it to me, man. You should have listened to it and said, this is unusable. Or you should have listened to it. If you actually believe it's salvageable, you should have listened to it and said, okay, you're going to do this yourself when you get home.
Well, I'm still going to do it myself.
Yeah, but apparently. Please take the Freedom Fiend's name out of it. That's the other thing is like...
I'll rename it as Seeds of Liberty.
I mean, the reason the Freedom Fiends sound as good as they do is because of me. It's because of me, it's because of Brian Gordon, and it's because of Derek Slopey. It's not because of any of the Fiends. It's like I set up this way to do a great sounding show with a $50 microphone that nobody else knows how to do. I figured it out. Derek Slopey invented Fiend Phone with me to my specs. Brian Gordon invented Fiend Bot for me. To my specs, and I worked really hard with both of them to make it happen, to make this like complete ecosystem to where you can do a show without really having to know any audio engineering. I'm not an audio engineer. Like, I'm barely an audio engineer. Like, I could probably get a job running the soundboard at a crappy club, but I couldn't get a job running, you know, the studio in a good recording studio. Like, I don't even know that much, but I know enough to make a podcast sound good, and I try to help other people do that. And if they deviate like, 1% from what I tell everybody over and over and over to do, the audio is horrible. And nobody seems to take it seriously, man, except here's who takes it seriously. Jim Jesus. He went from horrible audio to great audio overnight because I told him how to do it. And he's never faltered since. Young Nick learned it. He'd never done audio. I taught him how to do it and he does it right. Hugo does a good sounding podcast before I ever met him. Who else? And you do okay sounding stuff when you do Google Hangouts. But I don't know. It's not always great because of callers,
Of course it's not always
great. Look at the difference between
how James you never helped me. You never helped me the way you helped Jim. So
you never asked.
You didn't ask all these other people. You imparted your people like Ben Stone. You imparted yourself on their lives, not the other way around. Give me a break.
You want help with your audio, Jeremy?
I'm not gonna. I would never turn down help with my audio, but to say that I didn't ask is kind of.
You have to ask.
There you go. Yeah, I have to ask you. Okay, everybody else gets asked.
It's like in an AA meeting. I'm not gonna go up to the guy who's still drinking and say, "Hey, you need my help." If you
again, you've done it to so many other people. That's not I don't find that a valid excuse.
Well, I'm kind of done doing it. I'm done doing it because it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
But again, you really Jim came along only shortly before me. Wait a minute. Anyway, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, that means you don't care.
No, I do care. But I think you're being unfair with the way you're putting it.
The future of the Fiends. We're going to talk about the future of the Fiends. Here's the thing. I always said that the Freedom Fiends will live on if I die before you guys do. But that's only because I thought you guys were capable of producing good audio. I don't want something out there with bad audio.
Oh, my God. You just talked about all those people that made, important, the triad over there, you, Derek, and Brian. Okay, guess what? We weren't using either of those products to do what we were doing.
So, I said in that thing, I could get better audio with a phone, and I have. I would. That's what I would have done if I were there with you guys, and I couldn't, I would have sound checked. And here's the thing, I wouldn't have needed to hear to check to solve the problem you guys had. It could have been checked by looking at the settings in Windows.
Again, I'm not denying that.
Or Mac.
I unfortunately had nothing to do with that aspect.
Everyone's passing the buck. I was just following orders.
I was on the verge of almost vomiting because I had to run up to the campsite twice to get my laptop because the first time I made it all the way up there and realized my keys were back on the table.
Maybe you shouldn't be recording yourself when you're vomiting.
I didn't vomit.
When you're about to vomit, though.
Okay. It was just from running.
Oh, I thought you meant because you were so drunk.
No, I wasn't. I was never that drunk. I don't get drunk. I don't like drunk.
All right.
I don't like being drunk.
So here's the thing about my scathing thing that Lisa read. It was half kidding. And here's the thing. I'm not a guy like Lou and some other people I know who, insult their male friends as a joke. Hey, dude, you big fat a-hole. I don't do that, so I'm not that good at it. That's part of it. That thing was with love, tongue-in-cheek. But still, it's like... But this is the show about good audio. Why would you make something horrible audio and put the Freedom Fiend's name in it? Why?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers, and some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any tomfoolery. So go with AgoristHosting.com. And if you want to get your foot in the door with decentralized marketplaces, Agorist Hosting is now offering Open Bazaar Hosting. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted Now.
That episode and other things is kind of the non-government version of a trademark enforcement. You know, in the square world, people register trademarks with the government and of brands they've built the name of. And, you know, if somebody else misappropriates that name, in their opinion, they, you know, take legal action and try to use government guns against them. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to use shame, which is the only real, you know, weapon libertarians have other than shooting people. And I'm not going to shoot anybody over bad audio, although it is a hate crime. I'm just going to say, man, anybody who had anything to do with that episode, like, shame on you. Don't use the Freedom Fiend's name with that. Don't make crap and call it free. Don't pee on my leg and call it lemonade.
Oh, you're so out of line.
No, I'm not.
You're like, you were building scarecrows all over this field and whacking them down.
The thing is, you guys constantly make fun of bad audio right along with me, you know?
Yes, and again, if this had been something we edited and say, Michael, this is a rush job, get this out on the air immediately, then by all means, I would be taking my flogging publicly from you right now. But that was not the case. You have presented this unfairly because everything... No, exactly. You left out all the pertinent details, like me sending you an email that specifically said, this is unedited. You got to...
I didn't actually need your email.
See, yeah, there you go.
But here's why.
Case closed. Why. Good night, everybody. I'm going to take off.
That's not... You can. Oh, if you leave, this is going to take a turn.
You're
gonna
regret it.
So, the reason I didn't read this was because I was doing what I usually do, which is obeying the commands of the fiends. Like, you know, the fiends make audio. I'm the guy who never gets thanked for it and put it all together. And, you know, nobody hardly ever get thanked for it. And generally people complain to me about it, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. But, yeah, like Lou and somebody else, Lou and Chandler said, yeah, we're recording this thing. We're going to send it to you tomorrow to put up. So I was basically going by that. I had a million things to do. You guys sent me a bunch more work to do. Here's some audio. You know, edit it and put it up. Got it, and I was acting on the commands I'd been given by the fiends.
commands. Hey, Lisa. You ever heard?
Yes.
You ever happen to catch a conversation where Michael gets upset because people don't read the emails he sends?
I don't know,
because I think, you know, I seem to remember a few of those. Come on, man.
You're talking about group emails. That's kind of a different thing. That's like when
this is
I
even
send
more important.
Something out to 20 people and say, hey, anybody who can respond to this, respond to this.
Okay. Come on.
You know, when I'm booking
again,
shows.
I think you're being like, a little unfair.
This is something that regularly happens, and some of them slip through, and I get mad at you guys. But, you know, this was a one thing, like, yeah, will you do this? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do this. You know, I read your thing quickly when you got, I didn't really, I kind of half read it, but my main concern is data acquisition. That's what I do all day long. Like, stuff comes in, I dress it up as best I can, and I put it out to the world. That's what I do, you know? I still don't think we're going to agree on this. I think You're making excuses.
I
you think I'm making excuses.
I don't think you're making excuses.
You know what?
I think you're building a field of scarecrows of your own creation, lighting on a fire,
you know what,
and laughing
though?
At it.
This isn't the first time this has happened. Okay, you came into this late. Either last year or the year before, something like this happened before.
Okay, well, again, I have nothing to do with that.
Yep.
Young Nick had nothing to do with that. Hugo had nothing to do with that.
There's a couple lessons here. One is check your audio inputs. Another is maybe don't try to record stuff for public consumption when everyone's wasted and it's late at night.
Not everybody was wasted. That was the people that were in control weren't wasted.
The most important thing is probably do some needle drops on media before you send it to anybody to do anything with.
Yes, and again, you know? Like I said, I took responsibility for that because I sent it out to you, and because it took me so long to figure out a way to actually get it to you, I skipped that part. And
okay,
that's
let's talk about how I'm gonna tear the fiends down brick by brick over this. That's the next
okay.
segment.
All right, we'll pre-game. I can't wait.
So, no, here's the thing. So I've been doing this show
conversation.
This predates you. I've been doing this show for 5 years. We are on episode like 950 something. I'm burnt out, man. And part of why I'm burnt out is like lack of thanks and too much complaining. You know, like. Kind of feeling like, oh, do this for me, and then like, you know, very few people ever say thank you. Young Nick says thank you all the time, but that's because I taught him to.
Oh, I taught him. Break. He's just a polite young man.
No, he wasn't. He was, but he forgot to say thank you till I taught him to.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Yeah, this is the Freedom Fiends. Worms. So, I forgot to mention one great audio fiend. It's Nima Vidotti, who started the show with me. He's the best. He's a better engineer than I am. And he and I, being two people who knew what we were doing with audio, at least with podcasting on my part, and him with recording his own music, you know, it's kind of why the Fiends made it a point of sounding good. That's why, you know, we demanded that it always sounds good. Like, you know, I do things like when James Weeks was on last week, you know, I did a half hour sound check with him that afternoon and like had him move fans around, move his mic closer, you know, turn off this, turn off that, until he turned off his AC, like until he sounded good. He sounded really good on the show. So he's really good, Nima, at what he does. And he and I kind of fed off each other and built the Fiends sound. You know, the first like 400 episodes were just me and him. And then then he quit to go ahead and make babies, literally. Mm. And so to 3D print some humans. So I started doing it with other people. And it's gotten to the point where like it can happen without me and be great. And there have been a lot of those over the past year. And I'm grateful to all the Fiends who did that while I was too sick to do a show. But now I'm back and I'm grabbing my crown out of your hands and kicking you down the stairs. No, I'm kidding. Thank you for your service. Give me that. That's a joke, Jeremy. Why aren't you laughing?
I'm laughing on the inside, Michael.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the thing about the future of the Fiends. I'm really burnt out on it, and I don't really think there's anybody who can guarantee it's going to have good audio. And I don't want to like not be on it and but still be responsible for making sure it has good audio, because that's like all the work with none of the fun. So so I'm considering some options here. Here's the possibilities, and there's no like answer right now to this. Maybe I want feedback from fiends. Maybe I want feedback from the audience. You know, maybe I just need to say it out loud. But here's the things I'm considering. One is ending the show at episode 1,000. Possible. Well, here's the thing. Like, you know, I mean, you guys could even probably, you know, like, I wouldn't sue you if you kept the Freedom Fiends name and got freedomfiends.org and kept doing it even if I told you not to. Bipcot does not cover that, by the way. That's kind of like a libertarian trademark thing. Like, Bipcot covers the media that's been made, but it doesn't say anybody can start a Freedom Fiends. And I think that's true of anything covered by Bipcot. It doesn't mean anybody can't
do it either.
Right. Like, I wouldn't stop you, but I would shame you if it didn't sound good. But you know, I think you'd be smarter. Like, if I fold this up, and I would give notice. I'm not just going to do it overnight. I would give you notice. I'd give GCN notice. And I'm not giving that notice now. I will let people know if I do. So, but if I were to do that, like, you know, why would anyone want to fight me for the name when you guys could just go, like, you know, do Jeremy's podcast and do Nick's podcast and do Jim's podcast, which has kind of become like the auxiliary fiends where you can cuss in a way anyway. You know, why wouldn't you do that rather than like defy my wishes and have me angry at you and have fans angry at you? Because, you know, oh, the band's broken up and they all hate each other. Like, why not? You know, if I do that, I recommend that we part amicably and you guys go do your own podcast instead of trying to keep a dead horse alive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Sure.
We'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
What? Speak up. I can't hear you.
So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Ooh, man, that sounds like threats. The other possibility I'm considering, there's a couple I'm considering also, is not doing that with it, but like not having it be 7 days a week. Maybe stop doing radio at night and only do it on the weekends, like pre-record it. Here, I'll tell a secret. I'll out something here. The Freedom Fiends haven't had a live weekend show for 2 years. They've all been pre-recorded. So there. Some of them have sounded like live, but they're not. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't get up by 11 a.m. to talk. So I started pre-recording them 2 years ago, and they've all been pre-recorded ever since then. But that kind of works, too, because then you don't have to, like, be in the mood to talk at a certain place in a certain time. You know, you can do it whenever throughout the week when people can do it and you have total control over it. And there's, you know, if you say something you didn't mean, you can correct it and things like that. So that's a possibility too, is not doing 7 days a week, just doing 2 days a week and just doing weekends on the radio and on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Another possibility is not doing radio at all and only doing streaming internet either 7 days a week or I kind of don't know about that. Like, I kind of don't like the idea of having to be somewhere at the same place at the same time. I kind of think, like, maybe the thing to do is to make this podcast only and do it two or three times a week when me and people feel like doing it, you know? Because I know a lot of you don't like staying up this late, too, because you have jobs and stuff.
Well, for us on the East Coast, I know it's a little bit harder, although
it's very late.
I have
work at home,
issue.
But you know,
well,
like
kind
people,
of.
People
no,
like
I leave. I do leave the house.
Miller and stuff like that. But there's people that have to be somewhere like 4 hours after the show's over, you know, on the weeknight. So that's a possibility too. And like I said, I'm not putting my notice in. I will discuss this with other fiends, and I'm open to input from the audience. Although, you know, we'll see. You know what I will take from other people who aren't vested. And you know, I'll think about it long and hard, and it won't be like, I'm taking my ball and going home. You know, I'm barely angry tonight, but I won't even be angry at all when I make this decision and announce it. Like, it's going to be out of love. It's going to be out of like, hey, this thing's done what it can do. Here's what it's going to do from now on. Here's what I can have it do from now on. You know, so, and the weekend, if we're going to go to weekend only on radio, that might make sense too, because we're on a few much bigger stations on the weekend. And here's the other thing. We lost two nighttime stations last week. I didn't really get to announce this because it went to Porkfest, but we lost two stations in Florida And the reason given was that they used to like this show, but it seems to be not really about anything anymore. And that's kind of a complaint I have, too. Like, I don't think it needs to be wall-to-wall, like, serious politics, you know? Mm-hmm. But I kind of think it's just kind of all joking all the time sometimes. Like, it still has its moments. I listen to every show, even the ones I'm not on. I like all of them. But some of them I'm kind of like, this is so inside baseball that, like, the only people laughing are the people listening, you know? And I kind of think that's – it's kind of like selfish radio. It's kind of like it's not – radio that thinks of anyone else, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody else, almost. But I kind of think we need to think about that a bit. And something I've noticed too is, like, when I come on and I'm like, hey, I have something really serious to talk about, sometimes, like, all the hosts are just laughing so hard, like, they won't even let me get serious, you know? And that's a problem for me, because I don't make any money at this show. I do it so I have a platform to say things if I really need to say them. And when I come on and have something really important to say and everyone's just joking and telling jokes, and I'm not talking about Porkfest, I'm talking about, like, things before that. Like, it kind of, to me, is less worth doing. It's, you know, it's less worth doing the hassle. Hmm. So, any comments before we go talk about Marc Maron?
Well,
Jeremy,
you
sound like you got a comment, but keep in mind, like, you know, I'm not really yelling at people with this part of it. I'm basically saying, like, it's a cost-benefit analysis. It's like, it's less worth doing for me than it used to be, you know? I think there's things that could change, but I think part of what the change might be is not doing 7 days a week on radio. Are we even on radio? Like, I know we are, because some of these stations have, like, you know, streaming links, but it's like, we don't take calls, and we hardly ever get emails from radio listeners. And the only reason I'm really on radio and fought to be on radio and worked to be on radio is because I saw the movie Man Who Fell to Earth with David Bowie when I was like 16. And the character in that comes to Earth from another planet seeking water and, like, can't get back to his planet because, you know, he and his whole family will be dead by the time he makes the journey back. It's so far away that he makes a record. He does, like, a spoken word poetry record or a music record that has, like, hidden subliminal messages in his language, because, and he gets it on the radio because he knows that the signals go into space, that his planet will eventually hear them. Like, that's why I got on radio, man, because I want to be heard on other planets. And we've done hundreds of episodes on radio, and, you know, the signals are out there. So if we're going to be heard on radio on other planets someday, that work's already done. I don't even know if there's a reason to be on radio anymore. And I like cussing. I really do. I miss it.
Well, I do too. But the fact that I was able to clean up my act to do this, I mean, and it's bled over to my other.
It's in you now.
Yeah, but because it's bled over into other work now. So I mean.
But it leaks away, as we know with Dobby Barker, because he didn't do radio for like a year. And then what?
Yes, he slipped, yes.
He had a slip. Yeah, okay. And I don't mean drinking, because he doesn't drink.
But in that situation, of course, he slipped, yes, but isn't the last line of defense, like, I took the responsibility for in the situation with the recording, isn't the last line of the defense the guy on the cussed up button?
The board op?
Yeah, I guess so.
No, apparently not, based on what's happened with Free Talk Live before.
Well, okay.
The last line of defense.
Yeah, I took
defense.
I took responsibility. They should too. There you go.
Here's what I. Well, that's kind of a tough one because I think whoever says it, I think here's what it could be. I'll take responsibility for it, but only because I didn't say no to having him on the show. Because Derek asked me if I could have him on. If he could be on. And I was like, yeah. What I should have said was, let me talk to him first. And, like, I should have reviewed the Fiend's rules, the radio rules, you know?
Yeah, okay, if you want to go that route.
Like, man, you're just not letting me have anything tonight.
It has nothing to do with not letting you have anything.
I have a lot of complaints, and you're basically saying they're all wrong and they're all based on nothing. That's what it sounds like to me.
What did I say about that? I'm not saying he didn't say it. He can take responsibility for that. That has nothing to do with me. That's on him.
You're saying it's my fault.
No, I did not say it was your fault.
You're saying it's Mike the Board Op's fault.
I said, no, what did I specifically say? I said, because what did I do? I took responsibility because I was the last line of defense in that situation. So I did. I owned that.
Yeah, and I'm going to take responsibility because I said yes, Devin, I'm on the show.
Well, again, that has nothing to do with taking it because of the last line of defense thing. So,
all right.
Apples to oranges, man.
All right, so we're going to talk about Marin, the Marc Maron show.
Yay!
The show Marin.
Something happy to finish off.
That I'm hooked on now.
Yeah. And I was going to do a segue, which was a slip. Because he slips in the fourth season. He has a relapse. He's a recovering alcoholic and addict. And end of third season, he relapses. And fourth season, he's recovering. He's back in recovery.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Yeah. Yeah, so speaking of podcasting, there's this guy named Marc Maron who's got a podcast who I really like because he's really funny. His humor is really good. It's really smart. He's got a show called Maron. It's about him. He's got some stand-up on Netflix that's really cool and really, yeah, I recommend it. And I like the guy not only because I like his humor, but we have a lot in common, so I kind of relate to him. Like, we're both 52, we're both cat people, we're both podcasters, and we're both recovering alcoholic addicts. Like, you know, I mean, that doesn't make us like soul twins, and I'm not going to write him and say, hey, be my friend, but it's like, you know, how many people have all those exact things in common with me? Probably less than 1% of 1% of the world. So, you know, it's interesting to me. Like, you know, people want to see themselves in their media they like. So I like this show, and you like this show, right, Lisa?
Yeah, I do. I binge watched yesterday. It's really good. He's really funny.
Jeremy, have you seen it or heard any stuff from him?
I know, yeah, I've heard some of his stand-up in the past, and I've watched him in other venues, but I haven't watched this particular show, no.
Yeah, I'd kind of put him in the same category as Louis C.K. They're both the same kind of comic, I'd say. Mm-hmm. You know, smart, irreverent, and they kind of came up together, like, working the same clubs and stuff. So, and they know each other, and they're friends, and one of the most downloaded podcast that Maron has had, other than the one where he interviewed Barack Obama, was where he interviewed Louis C.K. And Louis C.K. like laid bare his soul in ways he never had. Like, people go listen to that one if you can. So, okay, the show's on its fourth season, and in the end of the third season, Mark's character, who is, it's Marc Maron, but it's kind of like a little bit of an exaggeration himself, maybe, which is the thing. Like, that's how Louis C.K. show is, you know. Like, Maron relapses and starts popping oxycodone and abusing them, and loses a new TV show that he has where he's like the star of the show, and then it ends the season, and then it comes back this season, and he's like totally addicted to oxycodone, living in a storage locker, pooping in a bucket, and like sleeping with a nurse to get her to steal oxycodone from one of her cancer patients who's in the next room, like writhing in pain while Mark's popping his oxycodone.
Oh, like, my.
That's funny. It kind of is if you're in recovery. So real quick, I'll give the insider baseball that I've noticed about this show. So Jerry Stahl is writing on this show now. One of my favorite writers, he used to write on ELF, which I didn't like, but he was doing heroin while writing on ELF and then got in recovery, and he wrote Permanent Midnight about his experiences with that. And there's a major Hollywood movie where Ben Stiller plays him. And, And of course, he got a supermodel to play his wife in the movie. And, you know, who wouldn't if they're making the fictionalized version of their life? But so in this season four, where Jerry Stahl is consulting on everything and writing on a lot of them, and he did the same thing in season three. So the character of Marin is now including a lot of things from Jerry Stahl's life. Jerry Stahl's also in my Hubert Selby documentary. I don't know him. I interviewed him at his house, but I'm not going to pretend like we're buddies or anything. But I study him. I'm not stalking him. I know where he lives, and I never showed up there again after I interviewed him. But I'm very interested in him. Like, he helped create CSI, like the most successful TV show ever. He wrote for a lot of the episodes of the first season, especially the really weird ones. I guess he has a thing about storage lockers. There was, like, someone doing, like, sex changes in a storage locker in one of the episodes he wrote in season one of CSI. But here's the insider baseball I have. The sponsor, the AA sponsor of newly sober Mark's character, is played by Don Stark, who's the big afro-headed white dude in That 70s Show. You know, do you know that actor?
Yes. Anyway, yeah,
that's the guy playing his sponsor. The sponsor is based on Hubert Selby Jr. Like, he's got so much in common with him.
Whoa.
And that's an insider, like, you know, I don't know, LAAA kind of thing right there. Like, things he says, and, you know, somebody who writes on that show may have had Hubert Selby as a sponsor. I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to break anyone's anonymity. But yeah, that guy, I mean, one of the things he says is like, yeah, man, always say yes to life. Like, watch my Selby movie. That comes up like 8 times. Selby says it twice, and 6 of his friends, including Jerry Stahl, say, like, Selby always said yes to life. He never turned any opportunity down. You know, he did when people asked him to come speak at a meeting, when people asked him to do anything, he always said yes. You know, he always said yes to life. So, but other things too. That guy is Hubert Selby Jr., that character.
Wow.
That's my insider baseball.
Check it out.
Yeah, check it out. So we're headed out here. I still like you, Jeremy.
Well, good luck, but I still like you too.
Worms.
Worms.
I still like each and every one of the fiends. I don't know, man. I just don't think that, like, every piece, every type, every show ever needs to run forever. I think it's better to bow out while it's great.